Happy Resurrection Day. I don't speak that sign language. Acts 12, I'm not going to go there. That's why I tell you, Acts 12, verse 4 through 11. You can read that another time. Easter is mentioned in your Bible one time, and it's talking about Peter's getting arrested. And it's the day before Easter, and he's getting ready to go in to the innermost part of the prison. That's where they put him, in the four quadrants of the prison. Well, that night, the Lord sends an angel and rescues him out of there. And a lot of people don't get it. They don't see that. They don't realize what God has done around that time. He rose from the dead. I mean, he's all about liberty. And that's what Jesus Christ wants to do. He wants to give liberty. You don't have to stay where you're at. You don't have to be trapped in the things you're trapped in. Listen, it doesn't mean you have to go out there and get a rap sheet and get arrested. And all. Hey, we're trapped in some things that God wants to rescue you from, that are your own prison, that are inside yourself. The question today is, do you believe it? Soul winning today is handled wrong. Wrong and wrong. And how this all came to me was the Lord. Let me just tell you something about those other Bibles. You go ahead and read them all you want. Have fun with them. You little buddies get together, do your Bible studies, and you can learn anything you want about those things. But I'm just telling you now, the King James Bible has to be you and the Spirit of God to sit down for you to learn it.
Amen.
I don't care how many of us get up here and preach it. If the Spirit of God is not going to teach you, or you're not willing to hear what he has to say, you're not going to learn it. You need to sit down with the Spirit of God. You need to sit down with this King James Bible and let him teach you.
Amen.
That's what he wants to do. And so this question came up to me. Dale, do you really believe I can deliver those men and women in the Allegheny County Jail from their drugs and alcohol?
Oh.
Do you believe that? Well, yeah, Lord. Yeah, just a light answer. No, Dale. Do you really believe that I can deliver those addicts?
Come on.
Those abusers? Those criminals? Do you believe that they can be made free just as you have? And I had to step back and look at that. He's done it to me. Mostly you know my testimony. But he wasn't worried about me. He said, do you go in there with the belief that I can set them free? And I had to pray things over. And so I went in, and the Lord gave me a study on the word belief. Some of you may have heard me say some things on it. Maybe I said some stuff in Sunday school. You probably forgot about it, so you might need to hear it again. It's all right. I thought I was going to preach the 1 o'clock service. And then Pastor said, no, you're preaching at 11. Not knowing that, I told Amy this the other day, I was really praying for an 11 o'clock service to preach this in. But I was under the assumption I was preaching at 1. And he goes, no, you're preaching at 11. I said, thank you, Lord. All right. The word believe. And I'm going to get into the Bible. The word believe. I study the Bible that way. I love to get into it. I like to see how many times it's in there, how it's used, definition. I mean, I'm into that stuff. Because that's going to give me an understanding. God put that question in my head. He put that in my heart for me to go in there and search this thing. It's a treasure. And I believe that people are soul winning the wrong way. They're going about it the wrong way in today's generation. And Pastor hit on that at 10 o'clock this morning. Believe, just like it's spelled in your Bible, B-E-L-I-E-V-E, believe, is in your Bible 131 times, okay? Out of those 131 times, it's only found in your Old Testament 17. That tells you something right there, okay? 17 times. It's found in your New Testament 114 times. In all 131 verses, every single one of them, it's this. In context, it means to credit upon the authority or testimony of another. Right off the bat, we see this isn't coming from yourself. Jesus Christ gives us the saving faith. He's going to do that same thing with the belief. You can't approach somebody and tell them all you have to do is trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because first of all, they don't even believe in a Bible. How are they going to call them when they don't believe? And so when you hear over and over again ministers and pastors and evangelists saying, all you have to do is trust in Jesus Christ, they're looking at you like you've got two heads because they have no clue. They don't even believe who Jesus Christ is. They don't believe that there's a Bible. How are you going to get them to trust in who they don't believe?
Come on.
How, Hey, how about this, Chris? I walk up to you, I'm a perfect stranger. You have no clue who I am. And I say, Chris, I'm going to give you $10,000 a week for the rest of your life. Do you think for one second you're going to trust me? Do you even think that you're going to believe me? Not a chance. So I don't show up. I come up to him the next week. And I say the same thing to him. Do you think he's going to trust me? No, he's not going to trust me. Do you think he's going to believe? He's not going to believe me. And that's what people are doing with salvation. They're telling people to trust and believe in something they have no clue about. And they're handling it the wrong way. So the next time that somebody does come and try to work with them, that somebody does try to come and tell them about Jesus Christ, no, I already trusted in that. Yeah. I already trusted it. How can you trust? You don't even know who I am. How can you believe in me? How can you trust in me? We all got dressed this morning. Why? Because we trusted that them clothes were going to cover us. We believed that them clothes were going to cover us. So we put them on. Belief demands an action. Hey, I didn't see anybody coming in questioning those benches. You went there and you sat on them. Why? Because you trusted that they were going to hold you up. You believed that that thing was going to do what it's going to. Why? Because belief demands an action. You believe something, then you do it. Look at your life. I always say this. You're better not off not trying to hide something, because what you believe shows all over the place. It reflects in your life. It's not hard to tell what you believe. Sit back and watch some people sometimes. Sit back and watch, because they'll say one thing, but their life reflects a whole different thing. Why? They're doing the action. That belief demands an action, and that's what they're doing. They're doing exactly what they believe. Exactly what they believe. Coming from the life that I had to trust somebody was unbelievable. When I first started coming here, I always told Pastor, I can't trust anybody. I could not trust a soul. You're telling me I had to trust in Jesus Christ? I'm going to go in there and I'm going to preach to these guys at the Allegheny County Jail, and the ladies are going to go into prison and I say, all you have to do is trust Jesus Christ. And every time I go in there and say that to them, and something doesn't happen for them, they're never going to get to that point where they can believe. Pastor had to sit up here for all those years, 4 years I sat in this church lost, listening to a King James Bible. And he had to preach that until I believed, not until I trusted. Trust will not come until after you believe. And I'm going to show you that in the Bible. I'm going to show you that belief comes from an outside source. It is not something that you have within you. It comes from something other than your own knowledge. I didn't believe in this Bible. But God, the Spirit of God, taught me to believe in this Bible. Therefore, after I believed this Bible, I got saved. No, go look in your Bible. I promise you, there's nowhere it says trust Jesus for salvation. Nowhere, ever. Every single time they're talking about salvation, you see the word believe or believed. Every single time. Out of 131 times, that's what you're going to see. You're not going to see anywhere where you're told to trust. You go work with the street people and tell them to trust something, Pastor. Trust something they don't even believe in. Listen to me, they do not believe that Jesus Christ can deliver them from drugs. They do not believe that Jesus Christ can get them off the alcohol or their lifestyle. They don't believe that. They don't even. And then you're going to say, well, the Bible says. They're going to say, I don't believe the Bible. Even our fundamental buddies don't believe a King James Bible like they think they do. That's for sure. So you're going to go out there and work with an inmate or a convict or a drug addict or whatever, and you're going to tell them, all you got to do is just trust in Jesus. They're going to look at you and go, I trust nobody. Because they don't believe. There is no belief. Belief is not something that comes natural. It's given to us. It's taught to us. And we learn to believe from an outside source. When we believe upon the authority of another, we always put confidence in the veracity. We always put our confidence in that very thing. So again, I'll just use this as you put your trust and your belief into that pew that is going to hold you up the entire time you're sitting there. You've been taught that. Somebody said, go ahead and sit in that chair. You'll be okay. They taught you how to trust that thing. Then you learned how to believe that that chair was going to hold you up. Could you imagine if you walked up to a pew every single time? Unless you're Tim McVeigh, of course, sitting in chairs. That chair's going to hold you up. You believe that chair's going to hold you. You trust that it's going to hold you up. You got it. It's going to do it. What it says to do. Also note that trust and believe are totally two different words with two different meanings and spellings. And they're used in the same sentence, so therefore they have different meanings.
That's right.
Just so you know that. I know we can intermingle them and all that, but they're totally two different things. They're even spelled differently, just in case we didn't get that. Okay? Trust is of ourselves, and it comes from within, after we believe in something. What are we trying to believe in? What are we trying to put our trust in? Does anybody know? That's the point. Most people don't know. They have no clue. I walked in this church about 10 years ago thinking I had a clue. Thought I was saved in prison and everything. I had no clue. I can tell you this as I sit here today. I did not believe that King James Bible. Though I loved it. Though I liked when people preached it. I didn't believe what it said. Because you know why? If I did, I'd be saved. Plain and simple. That's all there is to it. That's it. Belief demands an action. None. You really believe this Bible? You really believe what it says? Be holy, for I'm holy. Come out from among them. Touch not an unclean thing. Hey, we're to be live separate. We're to live holy. Hey, we really believe the word of God. Then we got to take it for whatever it says. We got to take for every single part of it for what it says. We just can't pick and choose what it says. And Pastor was just talking about that. But you know what? Most people have a knowledge. They have a knowledge of the Bible. God says, no, I want you to believe. Because when you believe that Bible, it'll do something to your life. You can have all the knowledge in the world and it doesn't change a person. Because I work with those type of people all the time in jails and prisons. They're always writing their families, telling them all these verses and everything else. And then when they get out, all that went out the window. Why? Because all they were trying to do is prove that they were saved through knowledge. It's not through knowledge that you're saved.
Amen.
Knowledge puffeth up, saith the Lord. Makes you think something that you're not. I got a sermon that I preached. I don't remember where I preached it. It says, do you know these verses or do you believe these verses? There's a difference in that.
Amen.
There's a difference between knowing verses and and believing them verses. Because what's going to happen when you step out in faith and you believe those verses, it's going to change everything about you. I'm still a work in progress, and I will be to the day I take my dying breath. Because you know why? There's a thing that goes on, and it's called the new creature. I'm a new creature. I'm a new creation. God is going to continue to work in me. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, He's going to take old things out, replace them with His things that He wants, and it's going to be an ongoing process. I'll never come to a point where I stop that until the day I die. That means I am forever changing. You believe this Bible, it's going to change you. It's going to make a difference in your life. And you know what? Actions speak louder than words. Remember that. Actions speak louder than words. People will know what you believe by the way you act, by the way you talk. Believe me, they will know that. They'll pick up on that pretty quickly. And those people who aren't saved, they don't mind throwing you in your face pretty quickly. Okay? We believe upon the authority, the reasoning, the arguments of the facts and the circumstances. We rest our conclusions upon the strength and probability. Their agreement with our own experience. It is to expect the hope and confidence and the trust. There are people who are sitting in church this morning saying, happy resurrection. Yay, Jesus arose. And they don't believe it. It's a religion. It's a feel good. Let's go and have some religion for the day. Let's make ourselves feel good. Because they don't believe there's a risen Savior. You know why? Because their life doesn't reflect what they believe. Do you understand the power? Pastor said this in the 10 o'clock, that you're not of yourself. That your body is owned by God now. And if we're one of His children, how many of us as parents would let our children just go and do whatever they want them to do? Then what do you think God's going to let you do that? That's what, you're missing something in the Bible there, because you can't just go live your life any old way you want, make any old choice you want to make, and do whatever you want to do and think that you're in the will of God. You can't do that.
Amen.
If that was the case, then what did Jesus Christ die for? Just so you can still run your own life? What do you believe? Do you believe this to really be the Word of God? Let me just say that. God had to teach me that. Because here I'm called to go to the jails and the prisons, and I'm going in there going, Lord, is there any hope for these people? Is there any hope for them? There is if they believe. There is if they believe. Go with me to Psalm 78. I'm going to show you some verses here. Psalm 78. We're talking about believing. Psalm 78. I want you to see there's an order to this when I read it. God must convince us through His Word, through His teachings, through His preaching, to believe first and then trust. You have to believe in something before you can trust it. That's just how it's going to be. God made it that way. Let's go in Psalm 78 and verse 22. It says, because they believed not in God, what happened? They trusted not in salvation.
Amen.
There you go. It can't get no simpler than that. They believed not, and therefore they couldn't trust in salvation. You have to believe. Listen, you are going to believe before you trust. If not, salvation is always going to be handled wrong. Soul winning is always going to be handled wrong. You're going to tell these people to continue to put their trust in Jesus Christ. They don't believe in Jesus Christ, but they want a way out because their spirits are a little broken or they're a little upset because of the things they've done at that moment. That'll change. Give it a few days. Because they don't believe. And I played that religion for a long time. Sitting in this church, I don't know how many confessions I made because I would sit here and the preaching would bother me. It would get me upset. And at the same time, I'd walk out of here not believing that God wanted to do anything for me. I didn't believe what that Bible said. But you know what happened, Bob? One day, I believed it at 9 1/2 East Main Street, and I've been saved ever since. Ain't that something?
Amen.
I didn't trust in nothing. I believed in Jesus Christ. I believed. I saw for the first time in my life what He's been trying to show me the whole time. And I believed it as truth. I believed that, yes, Lord, You are right, and I am wrong. That went away. Of not being able to get salvation. 6 months later, my wife got it. She believed that Jesus Christ loved her. That He had to die for her because He loved her. That's what it took for Amy. Well, that's simple. Maybe for you. Maybe for you. But whatever she needed to believe, God brought her to that point. He got it to her. She's been saved ever since. Just so you know that. And it's a beautiful thing because they didn't believe. They could not trust. Let's look at some examples of what the Bible teaches on this. Romans 10. Go to Romans 10. Romans 10. We're going to read 8 through 14. Romans 10, verse 8. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if we confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt trust in thine heart? Not at all. Believe in thine heart. Believe in thy heart. And that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Isn't that resurrection today? That he got raised from the dead? Many people don't believe. They're trying to trust in a risen Savior. Trust in a risen Savior. They have no clue who that risen Savior is. God says, you need to believe this. The first thing, I know from dealing with the people I have dealt with since I've gotten saved, and many people look at Jesus Christ like He's a Christmas story, or He's just an Easter religion, or you know, this whole thing is just a fable. It's not a reality. This is a reality. Jesus Christ died, and He rose again. But they don't believe it. Because if they believed it, they'd have a life changing. I'm telling you, it's life changing when you believe in Jesus Christ. It's not the same anymore. Your thoughts are different. The way you talk, the way you act, all that becomes different. It's not new. Many Christians get caught up after salvation and they stay the same way and doing the same things and making the same decisions. And there's never a movement in God in their life. You know why? Because they don't believe that God wants to change them. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you know it. You have to understand, it says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, old things are. That A-R-E is talking present tense. That's happening right now as I speak. There's things changing inside of me. Talking right now. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When does that stop? The day I close my eyes and go to heaven.
Amen.
That's when it'll stop. How many people believe that? Because they get to a certain point in their Christian life, done. They're just going to kick back and that's it. It's over with. They've never moved any farther. There's never any growth in their life. You know what? Sometimes God's got to bring some things, you know what, to scoot us along. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? I know, what are we raising our children for? To leave them the same way they were born? Or we're trying to teach them the ways of God, trying to teach them the right way, to make right decisions, so on. Of course, that's what we're doing. What, isn't God doing that to his children? Us? Aren't we his children? Wouldn't he do that to us? Do you believe it? It reflects in your life. Ask your kids sometime about how they see you. Me and my wife do that often. That tells me where I need to work on things. Tells me where I need to work on things, because you know what? They're just going to come out and tell me the truth straight up.
That's right.
Okay? They don't know any better. My kids go places and I listen to them. Like when they're talking to grandparents and all that, I'll tell them, hey, hush, don't. They just go out there and do whatever, and I listen to them. I listen to what they have to say, and I go, well, okay, I see something there. See something there, all right, I got to take care of that. Why? Wouldn't God do that to us? Of course he would. Do you believe it? Now, this is belief. Next page here. Verse 12, let's leave off on what. Oh, let's go to verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man trusteth unto righteousness. No, he believeth unto righteousness. ETH means something that continues to happen. Doesn't end. ETH means it's going to always happen. You're going to believeth unto righteousness. Whose righteousness? God's righteousness. If you're going to get God's righteousness, you're going to change. Something's going to happen. Okay, it's going to demand an action every single time. Every time you find that word belief in your Bible or believeth, look for an action because it's always going to make something happen. It will do it. Okay, that's the power of God. Okay, it's not, we're not looking at ourselves for anything. We're looking at God for what he's going to do. It says, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is over all. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon him. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? Pretty cut and dry English. Who they don't believe. How are you going to go out there and tell somebody all you have to do is trust in Jesus Christ for salvation and they don't even believe in him? They don't even have a clue why they're lost. They'll tell you they're a sinner, but they have no clue why they are. There's no belief in it. Back in the days, you could go and tell somebody that. They would understand why, because they've heard Bible their whole entire life. Today is not the case. You want to find a lot of people that have a lot of Bible, come with me into jails and prison and to try to get them to believe in the Bible. Because they hang on to religion pretty easily all the time. I just go in there and teach them to believe in the King James Bible, that Bible is God's Word, and they'll put their belief in that. He'll change their life. That's what I go in there with. That's what I go in there with. I'm not going to go in there promising them this and promising them that, because you know what? That's what they get from everybody else. Everybody else is promising life and promising riches and everything's going to be perfect and beautiful. I'm sorry to tell you that. It's not always that. I'm in my flesh. I live here in this world. It's not always that. Why would I go in there and tell them people, don't you just worry about nothing? No, you need to worry about something. First of all, you need to worry about, do you believe this Bible? Do you believe that God is who he says he is? Do you believe who he is? Or are you just believing in some religion to make you feel? Listen, I'm just telling you, when you read a Bible in jail and prison, it makes you feel great. It does. I used to have different religions like the God bodies. The Nation of Islam, they call themselves God bodies. They think they're little gods here on earth. And I had all these, even the Muslims will come and get a Bible and they want to read it, King James Bible. And I remember asking one of them, his name was Universal, Uni. We call him Uni. His name was Universal. He was Nation of Islam. I thought he was a little god here on earth. And I brought up the question. I said, hey, Universal. I said, let me ask you something. I said, you're a little god. He said, yeah, I'm a little god. I said, go ahead and step on the ant. I'd like to see you resurrected. Well, I don't have that kind of power, he said. I said, I don't think so. But he would come up to me and he'd say, hey, can you slip your Bible down to my room? I can't have my brother see me, but I'd like to read your King James Bible. I said, man, I said, why would you want to do something like that? He said, there's power in that thing. He goes, those Psalms and those Proverbs, he goes, man, that's a wonderful book. I said, sure, I'll bring it to you. I'm just telling you. And he didn't even, listen, he had no, he wanted nothing to do with Christianity. He thought the white man is the devil. That's who he says, that's who he thinks we are, the devil. Okay? And there's power in this book, if you'll believe it. Well, I have a hard time just, you know, taking for what it says. You know, it really meant something from the time past. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's good for 2017 and beyond. It is. It is. Listen to me. I know I say this. I wish God, when our children were born, he said, here's an instruction manual to take care of your children. You do it this way and you'll be just fine. But let me just tell you this. If you're a child of God, he gave you an instruction manual. He says, if you follow that, you'll be just fine.
Amen.
The problem is we don't believe that. That's what the problem is. Even in Christianity, we don't believe it. Take a look at your life in the past 72 hours. Reflect. It's good to reflect, Pastor.
That's right.
I find myself reflecting a lot when I'm looking in the mirror going, you knucklehead. You are doing it again. I like to reflect. I like to know what's going on. I like God to teach me when I'm looking in the mirror at myself and going, because I believe this Bible is telling me exactly what I am. Who else is going to tell me? My wife isn't going to come up to me and say, you know, Neil, you're this and you're... But God is. And he knows how to do it in a fatherly way. Want to learn how to be a father? Learn how to be after God. He can handle you as God. Or he can handle you as a precious father handling his child. Go read that up. Paul splits it up four times in your New Testament. God and the Father. Because
yep.
He wants you to know that you're handled. Sometimes God handles you just as God. But there's other times he handles you as a father. And I never knew how to have a father. But when I got saved, I knew God as God.
Amen.
And he started teaching me as God the Father. And I realized, my goodness, if people don't get this, they're always going to look like God is a condemning God. He's not. He's trying to handle you as a father who has to make decisions that might hurt you but are better you in the long run. Man. If you don't get how he's handling you, then you're going to get it all messed up and you're always going to look at God like he just wants to hurt you all the time. Like he's just some condemning God. And that's all he wants to do is correct you. And this, it's not. Look at him as the Father. Let him show you what the Father is. Let him show you who that precious God is the Father. And I'm just telling you, it's something that you will cherish the rest of your life. And I'm learning that as we speak here today. I'm learning how to have God as my Father. Amen. Ephesians 5:20. I pray that just about every single day. Give thanks always to God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know something? That's a powerful verse. Because it just shows me that God is almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful. But he steps out of that and just shows me, I got to do this, Dale, only because I love you, man. I'm your Father.
Amen.
He'll sit down. How is it that some of you didn't have a dad? How would it be to sit down and have a conversation with a father who loves you, cares for you, and wants nothing but the best for you? Here it is. Here it is. Here's the love of the Father. You can have it as much as you want or as much as you don't want. Your choice. What do you believe? What do you believe? I know what I believe. And I'm so thankful that God looked down on me one day and said, you're going to be my son. And he strove with me for 40 some odd years. 40 years and he knew what it was going to take. 40 years. He knew what it was going to take for me to finally say, Dale, I'm going to be your father.
Amen.
And I'm going to teach you to fall in love with me. I love my mom. She knows I love her to death. Nobody ever taught her Bible. Nobody ever taught her to go into church. Nobody never done that. She never even, her father, if I told you the stories of her father, it'd make you flip in your seat. So either one of us. Now I sit down with my mama. We have Bible studies at her house. Because I want my mom to know that Father. I told her, I said, she goes, you mean God is my dad? I said, he's your dad, Mom. She goes, I don't have to have a dad because mine was wicked. I said, well, guess what? He wants to be your father. He wants you to know that Father. Don't I? Am I teaching that? Wants to know that Father. I said, Mom, the first thing we have to do, Mom, the same thing that we all have to go through is belief. You go tell a woman who's been through what my mother's been through, that just go ahead and trust in Jesus and you'll be okay. Go ahead and tell somebody like that. You go ahead and do that. You go ahead and damage that person. So that's all you're doing is pushing them away from God. You're not pulling them towards him. You're pushing them away by telling them that stuff. They have to believe. And you got to handle it delicately. It's like stepping on eggshells. You got to be that way. You just have to do it. And you got to work. And that's what Pastor did for 4 years. And 4.5 for my wife. I'm just preaching verse by verse out of this Bible. And letting God show me and her. It's okay to believe on me. Whew. That's some powerful stuff, man. I never thought I'd see my life where it is today. And I'm not talking about any of the houses and all that. I don't care less about all that stuff. I mean, I care. Don't get me wrong. I care. I go through a lot. But you know what? It's the life change. It's me finally being able to believe and trust in something that's never going to let me down.
Amen.
And to be able to go out there and share that with people. I know the hurt. I know the sufferings. But you know, God says, let me just go ahead and let me heal that thing. Why don't you come to me for healing? Why don't you believe what I have for you? You've tried everything else. Aren't you tired of trying everything else and it's always failing? Aren't you just sick and tired of reaching and grabbing and fighting and trying to just do it this way and doing it my way? I just got to go this way. I try it one more time this way. Wait, this doctor told me to do this. No! Come to God the Father. Believe in him. Believe what he has something for you. He's got something that's life-changing. The woman with the issue of blood. It's not even in here, but I'm going to close it. It's the woman with the issue of blood. She believed so much that Jesus Christ could heal her. I mean, she went through that crowd. She was not stopping for anything. Won't you do that? Won't you do that? Won't you start reaching for Jesus Christ? Won't you start believing in what he really has for you? Won't you come to him and let him show you what it's like to be a loving father? Won't you come to him? Listen, it's Resurrection Sunday. Jesus Christ raised from the dead for what? For you to live.
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
For you to live. Do you believe it? Because you're still dead in sins. If you're still dead in your sins, do not believe that Jesus Christ raised from the dead for you. But I trust. No. Let's put down the trust for a minute. That trust, go read your Bible, always comes after salvation in the Bible. Trust in the Lord with all my heart. That person is a saved person. You go read the many times that's in there about trusting. And it's always after somebody is saved. God, Jesus Christ himself uses the word, John 3:16. You all know it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believeth in him. Not trust. You got to believe before you can trust. And Jesus Christ is waiting with his arms open and saying, would you believe me today? You know why most of you aren't saved? Or whoever's not saved in here? Not most of you. Whoever's not saved in here, you know why? Because you're too busy trying to trust. You haven't even got to the point where you believe first. You got to get to the point where you believe first, and then the trust will come after that.
That's right.
But if you can't get to the believing first, you'll be stuck where you are for the rest of your life. You got to believe. Again, God isn't going to force himself on anybody. That's your choice. Are you tired of reaching everywhere else? Do you believe this is really the Word of God? Do you believe this is the same exact Bible that's sitting in heaven? I'm not saying that as a light thing, because I know how hard it was. Believe me, I know how hard it was. You ask my pastor. I was somebody who professed salvation and preaching in prison and everything else. Thought I knew 100% the Bible and everything else, and found myself in unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief.
Amen.
I had a knowledge, but I had no belief that Jesus Christ could do that for me. Do you believe today? Because if you do, your life will reflect it. Just remember that. I'm done, Pastor.
Pastor.